Welcome to Down in Upstate. My name is Frank. If you're anything like me, you're either constantly on the brink or constantly coming back from a suicidal bender. If you're anything like my partner, I probably don't want to meet you. His name's Mike. He's right here.
Yeah, and I'm not on a constant suicidal bender.
Not anymore.
I mean, I'm not suicidal anymore, I don't think.
Really? Are you going to claim that?
I mean,
no, I'm not suicidal. It was a joke. But
I know it was a really good joke.
No, I mean, I mean, obviously, you know, dude, I was something really dark. I found in one of my old notebooks, I found a letter that, like, it was like my default suicide letter.
You wrote a default?
In case, like from back in the day when I was doing drugs, if I ever overdosed in my sleep and someone found me, I had one, like, ready to go.
Was I in it?
So it's not really a suicide note.
Do I get, like, your comic book collection?
It's not a will. It's not, like, a last will and testament.
Well, fuck it.
But, like, yeah, no. I mentioned, maybe two close friends, my parents.
Who was the other friend?
Come on.
Did you have
probably Dan. I can't remember.
Dangar?
No, Dan.
Like, oh, Danny Rohn. Okay, Dan, all right. Yeah, that makes sense. I thought you said Dangar. Fuck out of here.
I probably tell Voldemort to go fuck herself.
Voldemort. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And she who shall not be named. And
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And actually, I think I actually do say something kind. But
really?
Yeah. But
fuck that noise.
But yeah. So that was a nice little treasure that I found this week. What's your deal?
My deal.
Well, we got this new theme song, right?
Oh, yeah. We got a new theme song. It's made by our buddy Will Romeo. He's in a band called Cripple Durin. He's also in Game Day Regulars.
And are they still playing Game Day Regulars?
I'm not sure as much anymore.
Like, since Houston had the baby?
I don't know. I mean, Houston fucking did On the Loose.
Still,
he did a show with them not too long ago. But I think Game Day is still going to be doing stuff. And then
good.
Will also plays with Sammy K. I don't know if you're familiar with his music.
What is he from, a band? I mean, I would imagine he is.
It's a band.
Oh, the name of the band is Sammy K?
It's like a solo artist kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
It's really good.
Like Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, but not fucking lame.
John.
But not lame.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
what's his name from? We got Gaslight Anthem, who constantly, you know, wishes he was Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, Brian Fallon.
Why would anybody want to be Bruce Springsteen?
Remember
that? Well, I mean...
I said the other day, I was quoting Jim Florentine about how... Jim Florentine was talking about how him and, like, one of his best friends growing up...
Who's Jim
up,
Florentine?
Stand-up comedian.
Okay.
Fucking hilarious. Jim Florentine was talking about, like, he's, like, really big into metal. Like, he hosted that, that VH1 metal show.
Oh, yes.
And he was talking about how him and this kid that he was, like, really good friends with, they were, like, best friends growing up. They were total metalheads, went to all of the shows together. And then this dude started dating some chick, and he went to a Bruce Springsteen show, and Jim Florentine didn't talk to him for 2 years. The way he tells it, I'm not doing the story justice. It's fucking hilarious. And he's from Jersey.
So. Yeah. So why would anyone want to be Bruce Springsteen? By the way, that's Larry. I didn't introduce him, but that's Larry.
Engineer, oh, yeah, Larry. As usual. Hilarious is here.
And so, I mean, why not? I'd live the life of Bruce Springsteen before I lived the life of, I don't know,
Brian Fallon. I mean, I would, but I categorize him with, like, Bono, and I don't want to be Bono either.
He's not constantly trying to claim himself like he's a fucking prophet. Like,
no, but fucking a lot of those Jersey Herbs
do. You think Bruce Springsteen wants his fans, though?
Definitely not.
Well, no, I mean, it's just, like, that Jersey kind of attitude. I mean, Kevin Smith doesn't seem to have it, but, like, people like Bruce Willis... Bruce Springsteen. It's just Bruce's from Jersey.
Is Bruce Willis from Jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because when he called up Kevin Smith, Bruce he was like, you're from Jersey.
Yeah, that's great. Bruce, just all Bruce's from Jersey. Go fuck yourself.
Bruce Jersey. That's what we should just start calling now. Bruce Jersey. It's not New Jersey. It's Bruce Jersey.
Bruce Jersey. That's hilarious.
We're just going to call it Bruce Jersey from now on. Did you see the roast
of Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
I watched it.
I was so disappointed.
I was very disappointed.
I wanted Kevin Smith
to
be there.
Well, it's not even that I wanted him to be there because I knew he wouldn't be, but I wanted someone to at least bring something up like
how much of a fucking dick he is.
About either what a dick he is, or like, or even if someone like took a like a jab like at Kevin Smith on Bruce's behalf, like
that would have. One of our acquaintances, I'm not going to say his name, worked on Cop Out. With Kevin Smith and, you know, Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan.
Remind yourself to tell me later.
Yeah, I'll tell you who it was. I'm not going to fucking air his shit out like that.
Right.
And he said he was a total fucking dick. Like, well, just a nightmare.
Yeah.
I guess all that moonlighting fame got to his head.
Well, yeah, well, I bet it definitely did, because then he went out and made Bruno, like, his alternate music ego.
Oh, that was the worst.
I was telling Dangar earlier today on the drive back from Brooklyn that
nice name drop. Yeah, he was in Brooklyn today. Yeah. You look like it too, you fuck.
I went home and changed
to look more Brooklyn.
I was in Bushwick. I mean, it's not that great. But
that's more Brooklyn than any Brooklyn.
Are you kidding me? More than Williamsburg?
Or it's like. It's right next to Williamsburg.
Yeah,
it's cheaper than Williamsburg.
Yeah, a lot of kids.
I've never even been to Williamsburg.
It's like moving to Bed-Stuy.
You've been to Williamsburg. We've gone to shows.
Oh, well, unless it was for a show. I've never been to Williamsburg to just walk around. But I was telling Dan, he's preparing himself by his outfit.
Moving next week.
Yeah,
I mean, Dan, that's what everyone was saying. They were like, you belong here. None of your friends do.
Only $2,600 a month.
Going to Barcade tonight.
For a closet.
Shut the fuck up.
Going to Barcade tonight.
If I remember correctly, I'm the co-host of this show. You stay in your place, Larry.
No, this is a trifecta.
But I was telling him about how fucking Garth Brooks, because like there was a big billboard for Garth Brooks, and what was his alter ego? Chris Gaines.
Chris Gaines, yeah.
And I was telling him, and he was like, "That's not true." He was like, "That didn't happen." I was like, yeah, it is.
Do you remember when he hosted SNL?
Yes, I was telling him that story. I was like, dude, he hosted as Garth Brooks, but then the musical performance was as Chris Gaines.
And you just threw on like, that stupid wig.
Stupid black wig and like some guy liner. Like, what the fuck? And the songs are slightly less, like slightly more dark. Like,
I always confuse Chris Gaines with the Counting Crows. I'm not even joking. I'd see the Counting Crows like on fucking MTV or whatever the fuck, and I'd be like, "Oh yeah, this is Garth Brooks's band." Oh, yeah, you don't want the Asian cigarettes?
Nah, there's too much menthol in them, man. I can't do it right now. I'm not gonna steal too many of your cigarettes, Larry.
Pussy.
Help yourself.
So what I wanted to talk about a lot was the issues going on in the Middle East. I think if we really sat here, we could really solve it.
Yeah, we totally could.
Hash this out real quick.
We could hash this out real quick. Quick 5-minute convo about Israel and Palestine.
Oh, and we got to do the Busta Rhymes and Spike Lee thing. Where we only
Are you gonna announce a segment before we do something?
No. But we only refer to the president as Agent Orange.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So. Agent Orange. What's apparently more controversial than the Middle East is that Louis is finally fucking back.
Hell yeah! I'm stoked about that.
I am. Did you know that, Larry?
I didn't.
He did
but
a set.
I'm overwhelmed.
Was it last Sunday or Saturday? Last Sunday, he did like a 15-minute set at
Louis C.K., obviously.
Yeah, Louis C.K., obviously. At the Comedy Cellar. And apparently he was working new material. So
didn't mention anything. Just did more jokes.
He will in his special, I think. Like when he does the hour, I think he'll bring it up.
What it would be called?
One last jerk. I don't know.
Just jerk.
One more jerk.
Because it's usually like one word. It's just it'll be called jerk.
No, I was really stoked. But did you see all like the fucking backlash? A bunch of fucking jerks. Yeah,
I did see a bunch of backlash. And honestly, last night, like I took the opportunity. Like I left, you know, Ben and Dangar. I took me the opportunity to like just wander around and go to a different bar and like find and make different friends and like.
Because you're social. I'm not.
You're talking about your social butterfly.
When I know the people. I don't fucking...
That's not true. I've seen you make friends from strangers.
I've seen him make enemies, too.
far more enemies.
A lot faster than friends, yeah.
Far more enemies, but, like, you still do it.
Not as well as you, though, because you got to get the gab. And I just tell offensive jokes and people back away.
I don't think it's the gift of gab. I think it's just, I don't know, pure human kindness.
Well, I'm not very kind.
Well, what basically I found.
Did you
these,
read that book Joe Bilt fucking read that Neil Strauss wrote with fucking the pickup artist? Is that where you got all your tips from?
No, I didn't even know that was a book. I thought that he was talking about the TV show the whole time.
No, fucking.
I didn't know there was a book.
Mystery and Neil Strauss wrote it.
Oh, I'm getting that book regardless
of. Please,
like,
please let me borrow it afterwards. I got to read the bullshit that's in that.
Yeah. So before we get into that, because I really want to talk about the pickup artist. So last night I met these two couples at this bar. It was, you know, two guy and girl.
Already giving me a semi.
And I'm talking to them and I'm talking about Louis and like, you know, they know that he's back and I'm wondering what their opinion on the entire sexual allegation thing that went on and is continuing to go on. And they honestly were the only...
Stop kicking my mic.
Sorry. They were the only... I knew that I did that. I'm sorry.
Fucking
yeah. See? I say something kind and you're my best friend and my worst enemy. So I'm talking to them, and they're the only people who've remotely made any kind of sense. Like, I mean, I know what my belief is, which is that
it was consensual.
Well, it wasn't.
What are you talking about?
Well, so what? He said I'm gonna jerk off right now. Like, he did say that.
From
right?
What I understood,
he said I'm gonna whip my dick out. Or who wants to watch me masturbate? They didn't expect him to actually do it, and then he actually whips his dick out and starts jerking off.
Yeah.
And then this young girl who's getting into comedy, you know, is looking up to this man who's this like and
fuck
and
he, out of here with
and
that
she,
shit.
No, I understand. Like, she like doesn't want to do comedy after that because she's so scarred from the situation. And like at first, like I was like, well. You know, is that just a weak person? Is that just, like, a weak-minded person who, like regardless, like, I mean, I don't want to say that. Like, that sounds too harsh, but...
No, I see both sides of the fence there.
I see both sides very clearly, yeah. especially after last night and talking to these girls. They're very high-minded. I go to PJs, so I'm not used to talking to very high-minded people.
Intelligent people.
Yeah. Had to go all the way to fucking Brooklyn.
No, but I remember watching Stanhope was talking about it. I think it was on Rogan's podcast where he was saying how, like, he used to just do that all the time. Like, would just pull his dick out in front of people.
Who, Louis or, like, everyone?
No, Stanhope would. And other comedians would as well.
I would kind of expect it.
It's fucking funny. You know? But, like, the whole thing about, like...
I used to do it to, like, my girlfriends. Like,
I mean,
but that's obviously consensual.
Your dick, you pissing. That was after I accidentally sent you a dick pic. It's a hard accidentally on there. But
well, you were fully erect. I was not, and I was very malnutritioned. Apparently,
yeah, you were
still
pissing.
Got the job done.
Yeah,
it was a resume, and I got the job.
Yeah, you need to hydrate, my friend.
I do more now.
But no, Stanhope was talking about it, like how people did that. They'd pull their fucking dick out, and it was funny. You'd get a laugh. And right. Girls would be there, and they'd laugh about it. And Stanhope was talking about a girl that Louis did that to, and she just thought it was funny. But the only thing that I think that is kind of weird is...
It's a situational thing.
Yeah, totally, you know? Like
if you're at, like, if it's, like, some sort of party trick you do...
Yeah, like, you know, hey...
Like, but, like, if
Frank's
you're, like...
Frank's pulling his dick out again.
But, like, yeah, like me at any Cinco de Mayo. But, like,
You get enough tequila in this guy.
And, yeah, and me and Lucido will run around a house completely naked. But, I've lost my train of thought.
We're talking about Louis and what I wanted to say was
the situation that is a situational kind of thing. Like if it's a party trick, like it's funny sometimes, but and it sometimes some people are like, ew, gross.
But him, it was sexual.
Yeah, to him, it was sexual.
But
and
what I
he was in a position
the,
of power.
The one creepy thing I heard, and I don't know if it was ever confirmed, was that he like kind of like blocked the door. Kind of thing, like.
Oh, I never even heard.
That. I heard something like that.
I think these girls that I was talking to did know that.
I mean, nothing against the Me Too movement, but some of these bitches start coming out of the fucking woodwork when fucking.
Well, now they're not scared.
Well, there's not. I understand that.
And there could.
And I'm not trying to sound.
There
like
could
a
be. There could be a fucking. You know. Wolf, a couple wolves in the sheep's hen, or whatever the fuck that phrase is.
Wolf in sheepskin.
No, like in the chicken coop or whatever the fuck. Like, you know, like a couple liars. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, and, I don't know.
The woman who started the Me Too movement, you heard about her, right?
What about her?
She paid somebody off to not speak against her because she sexually assaulted somebody who was about 16 years old.
Bitch that Anthony Bourdain was dating, right?
Yeah. I forget. I mean,
she has a weird name.
You know, like 10 years ago. He's in his 20s now. I forget it was, and I believe it was an actor, and I just can't remember the name.
Yeah,
but
he was a young actor.
Out of the woodwork very recently, so she actually paid somebody off.
Yeah, and there's a female fucking doing
to not speak against her,
and then she like started the Me Too movement. She was Anthony Bourdain's girlfriend.
Is this a conspiracy theory? Or is this confirmed?
No, this is confirmed. Yeah, it's facts.
This has been all over the media.
She's an actress, but I think her father's like a famous director or something. I can't remember. But, like, she's Italian or some shit, and she was dating Anthony Bourdain, and fucking, like, 2 days before Bourdain committed suicide, there was pictures of her with some dude, like, holding each other and, like, kissing and shit, and fucking...
Yeah.
A lot of people... Shouts to Ryan Foley, my boy Ryan Foley, is convinced...
And Ryan Watson for Mike's rant last time.
Ah, no, Waddy's cool about that shit. But no, Ryan Foley was saying he's like one of those. He was a huge Bourdain fan, and he was like, "I think this bitch is responsible for his suicide." What Larry's saying is completely true. Like she sexually assaulted a 16. I think he was 16.
16 or 17. Yeah, he was young.
I think he was 16, and they were working on a movie where like she played his mother. And she sexually assaulted him. And it's not like the South Park, nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of fucked up. Like, because it does happen to fucking dudes, too. And like, we know a friend of ours that got raped by a female. And...
I've been molested, well, by a man.
Oh, yeah, you had that, too.
Like, fucking last Cinco de Mayo. That was not my...
If it wasn't for Merck, I almost got raped in Atlantic City by the bartender, Jorge.
Why? How? Did he, like, pin you down or something?
I mean, it wasn't physical.
Oh, okay. He was hitting on you? How was it almost rape?
What happened was there was a pool party. It was at Harrah's.
It's always a pool party.
It was at Harrah's in Atlantic City. It was at Harrah's.
Fucking Brian Singer.
And I went out to the pool party, and I fucking... Obviously, nobody listening to this can see my pasty-ass skin. So I lasted, like, all of 5 minutes there.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, I got a dip. I'm fucking burning. I'm burning. So I went to the bar downstairs, and this guy, I kept calling him George. It turned out he was Spanish, and his name was Jorge. So once I figured that out, I was like, oh, Jorge. And he just, he didn't charge me a dime for a drink.
Oh,
and
you told me about him.
And he was getting me loaded, dude, loaded. So Merck and my buddy Chris Neuer as well, all three of us went down to Atlantic City for the weekend. And Merck came to get me. He was like, yo, we're going to go back to hotel room and, you know, do a bunch of cocaine and gamble. Mm-hmm. And Jorge, the bartender, was like, no, he's coming with me tonight.
Right.
And Merck was like, nah. Like, this is my boy. Like, we're sharing a room. He's like...
So you think he was going to lure you?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't and get, that, like, sexually assaulted or
and
anything.
And that he had been, like, buttering you up.
Yeah. And dude, he got me fucking loaded.
Are you sure that's not just your ego?
Honestly, the guy...
No, I believe you.
The guy was very handsome.
Okay, so we're going to take a break right now to take some money from some people. So here we go.
Hey, everybody. This is Mike from Down in Upstate with another sponsor of ours called Plank-Based Diet. Ever wonder how you could lose a bunch of weight in such a short period of time? Look no further than the plank-based diet. Sure, you could exercise and diet, but doesn't doing nothing sound way better? Just lay down in a flat position and get your body to deteriorate into a corpse? Thanks for dieting with us.
Hey everyone out there, this is Frank. This is a sponsor from the Alaskan Bush People. The Alaskans, who work so hard to bring us crabs, fish, and caribou. I'm not sure about that last one, but this isn't about that. The Alaskan women, who, especially the Eskimos that inhabit that state, are known to have quite the amount of grade A pubic hair. So what we do is shave that shit like a goddamn sheep. What are the bushes used for, you ask? Number one, cultural appropriation. White women who want afros. Number two, any man or woman who has alopecia and would like some pubes of their own, just slap some crazy glue on that area and apply our shit. And of course, there's many other uses that will be explained once you call our hotline. Alaskan Bush People, cold ass fucking pubes. Hey guys, welcome back upstate. This is Frank again. We just have some facts we want to check on ourselves because we're not fucking Fox News. We actually do our research. First of all, the woman that we were talking about earlier, who we thought had started the Me Too movement, she didn't actually start it. She was an advocate of it and was actually the first person to talk about Harvey Weinstein and all the things that he did.
She came out against Harvey Weinstein. She was the first one.
Her name was back in 2013. She was 37. Her name was Asia Argento. I don't mean was. She's still alive. But she had had sex with Jimmy Bennett, who was 17 at the time, and the age of consent in California is 18. So you know, still a complete fucking hypocrite, and just wanted to get that out of the way. Give Mike his notebook back.
Nice read, Frank.
Thank you. Was it not?
That was fabulous.
You didn't mention the fact that she was 37 while he was 17.
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
He did. Yeah, but I did. He didn't really stress that that's a 20-year age difference. Yeah. You know, like
I think people can do normal math. That's fucked up. Anyway, dude, about last night, apparently, because Martina was in Manhattan while me and Dango were in Brooklyn, and her and Grace, they went to the Masters, the sex museum, and...
I heard it sucks.
Apparently it does suck, but they do have a bounce house that's just tits. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Sounds like my kind of bounce house.
Sounds so awesome.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I was reading all about it in this pamphlet for it.
You and your pamphlets.
I read every pamphlet that was in that hotel while Dangar was arguing because we couldn't get into our room. Anyway.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend went to the Masters of Sex Museum, is that what it's called?
No, I think it's just the sex museum.
Sex museum or whatever.
Museum of Sex.
Museum of Sex. My ex-girlfriend went to it and she said it was really fucking lame. I was like, what do you expect? Fucking people dillying you there when you fucking walked in the door?
I would say the Titty Bounce House is the main attraction, right?
Titty Bounce.
Martina said no one was in it. I was like, what?
What?
That's the only reason to go there.
That's the main attraction.
You're not there to see fucking those three deers fuck each other.
I could spend 3 hours in that room.
It's the most action you'll get in years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so, the pickup artist, that's what I want to talk about. How do we introduce this subject? It came to us through a mutual friend at the time.
Your friend.
Come on, let's not go there. Stop. Just bury the fucking grudge already.
I've tried. He won't respond.
That's bullshit.
It's not.
You actually? I'm not even going to get into it. Anyway, so the pickup artist is a... It was a show back in like 2004 or 2003.
Was it that long ago? Shit.
Oh yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Way. Yeah. It was that long ago.
Oh yeah, because we were in California in 2007. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But was it a book first?
Yeah, the book became first. It was I don't know if Neil Strauss wrote it alone or did he write it with Mystery. But Neil Strauss also wrote the Marilyn Manson book. He's like a
ghostwriter.
Ghostwriter, basically.
So yeah, he probably that's where he did. Let's describe Mystery. Mystery is
James Corner.
Mystery is a man who. How do you mean?
Phantom of the Opera.
This is a friend of ours. No one. If you don't know us, then you don't know who James Corner is. But. Why?
He likes to peacock.
Oh, okay.
And that was one of their things. I'm addicted to fucking reality TV. I love that shit. Because all I watch is fucking MasterChef and Carnival Eats and stuff like that. But that's what their whole thing was peacocking pickup artists. I was at MasterChef. They're just cooking peacocks.
Yeah. Imagine it was MasterChef Junior and they had to like make the kids kill a peacock. You kill this peacock.
Oh, poor Abby from Brooklyn would be crying like, I can't do this. He's so pretty.
So Mystery is this asshole. And he wears, like, this crazy fucking, what is it, like a zebra top hat? Like, a big furry.
It's furry.
Furry, like, purple top hat.
Yeah, he sucks.
And please look him up, because he is the funniest looking human being. And he thinks that he has, like, the art of picking up women down to a science.
Oh, you got. Oh, and anybody listening right now that wants to see him in action, there's a great YouTube video. It's like 9 minutes long of him getting turned down by everyone.
Really?
Yeah,
I've never seen that.
Oh, dude, it's fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait till this podcast is done.
It's so good, dude. It's so good.
Stop the podcast.
So hit YouTube.
Are we doing a podcast right now?
So, what else does he wear? He wears, like, guyliner, I believe.
He paints his fingernails.
He paints his fingernails. He wears,
so
like...
So does Eric
like,
Melvin.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever. But he also wears, like, a crazy, like, trench coat. Like, he basically, you know, is trying to imbibe...
He looks like a murderer.
He's trying to imbibe the word mystery, I think, in his mind.
Shit.
Like, when people look
does
at him,
does he do
like,
magic tricks? I feel
that's
like...
also, like, okay, he looks okay. Like a magician.
Yeah, okay. Does he do magic tricks, though?
I don't think so.
But, like, David Blaine?
Hey, don't knock David Blaine.
I'm not. He's a magician.
No, he's friends with Muhammad. Actually, Muhammad tried to take him down. No one remembers.
Marissa's been getting pissed at me because I keep watching Penn and Teller's Fool Us.
Yeah.
And she was like, you actually like this shit? I'm like, it's fucking magic. Like, how the fuck do they not... Like, how do they do that? But anyway, tell the story about when we saw the asshole from...
Oh, the winner?
Yeah, the winner.
Yeah, so this was a contest. They basically... the show was a contest, and they turned so-called nerds who, like, couldn't, like, get girls, and this guy...
Yeah, it was like The Bachelor for Losers.
Yeah, this guy tries... Well, yeah, I mean, except they don't win anything at the end. they just win a
life full of shame.
They win the title of pickup artist. Yeah, exactly, which is why we shamed them. And so... Basically, you know, there's a winner at the end who, like, becomes the pickup artist. He's the best at breaking down mysteries, science. So, yeah, so-called fucking bullshit science.
Fucking jerk off.
And this chubby guy won, and he's very recognizable in the face. And when me and...
He looks like Augustus Gloop from...
like a grown-up Augustus Gloop, except with black or brown hair. But he also, like... All right, so when we lived in California in 2007, me and Mike, we could walk right to our supermarket, which is Vons. And right next to that, there was apparently, like, a nightclub. And he... we were at the supermarket, right? We drove for some reason, even though we live right there. And me and Mike were at the supermarket. Me and Mike were grocery shopping, and we came back out, and like we look over and we're like, holy fuck, is that the fucking winner of the pickup artist? Is that the pickup artist? And we roll right up in front of the fucking nightclub. And we're like, yo, who you got a hole with tonight? like pickup artist. Like we were just busting his balls. Like, I mean, that wasn't.
You saw the look of shame.
I mean,
we
shamed him so hard, and I kind of felt bad, but like he had already shamed himself so hardcore on TV.
It was a VH1 reality TV show.
Yeah.
How fucking worse could you get?
Yeah, it's like being Bret Michaels.
Oh, God.
What was it?
Rock-a-love?
Damnation?
Rock-a-love.
Oh, I thought you were talking about when they made the supergroup.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He
genuinely got upset. Like, when he saw us, because we rolled the windows down. We were fucking high as balls.
Yeah, we rolled the windows down and, like, stopped right in front of him.
And we were like, yeah, what's up, Mr. Pickup Artist? And he was just sitting there like, puffing away on his fucking Parliament light.
Like, yeah.
Didn't you do that to one of the James Bonds too? The
Pierce Brosnan I wasn't there for that.
No.
That was Frank in my car.
When you guys were in the Village.
We were on St. Mark's, and Daniel Craig and his wife were walking down the street, and me and Carr opened the windows, and we were like, "Yo, Pierce Brosnan!"
Didn't he laugh?
Yeah, you know, he thought it was so funny.
Yeah, he's got a good sense of humor.
I'm surprised. Like, has no one said that to him before? Like, we're the only ones who thought that. Like,
honestly, when you guys drove away, he was like, "Fucking 20th time today."
Oh, Christ.
I wish I was there for that.
I love Daniel Craig, and I love Rachel Weisz, who's his wife.
Where do I know her from?
She was in Constantine. She's, like, the main woman in Constantine. Jesus.
Constantine?
Yeah.
Oh, with Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Not the show. But, yeah. Oh,
my dog's crying.
The dog crying.
If you hear any whines, we're not murdering anyone here right now. Yeah. It's just that my dog, not yet. It's just my
we're
dog's upset
that,
that he's not allowed downstairs during this.
Hashtag me too.
Well, we haven't raped him yet.
That's a whole different. That's a whole different movement of rape of bestiality.
Blackouts
are
a bitch.
Rape.
What do you call it? Hashtag bark too.
Bark too. That's pretty good. All right. So you want to get to some planned poetry?
Yeah, I only have the one haiku.
Okay.
I wrote another poem, but I couldn't finish it because I actually wrote work on that at the bottom of it.
Can you read it and then write work on that, or does it just make absolutely no goddamn sense?
It just doesn't. I mean, I can read it, but my haiku, I was proud of my haiku.
Why don't I read my haiku, and then you read your haiku. All
right,
and then I'll keep going.
And Larry will be the judge of who's better?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Larry can be a judge. Even though I have three different types of poems.
You should see the sweat pumping out of Larry right now.
Oh.
He doesn't know what he's in for.
He's at the biggest beauty pageant in the world right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Win.
All right, so my haiku. Those who don't know, a haiku is a Japanese poem that is 5 syllables, then 7 syllables, and then another 5 syllables. All right.
Thank you, Professor Elbone.
You're welcome. Okay, so, straight punch to my nuts. One may have gotten shattered. That one's now plastic.
You don't have a title?
No.
Plastic Nuts would be a great one.
I mean, that's pretty on the nose, but...
Fucking first thing I did was I wrote the title.
Now I have titles for the other... Right. I have titles for the other ones, but... Okay. Okay, so that one, yeah, all right.
All right, here's my haiku. It's called King Buffet.
This one already won.
No, it's a title.
Yeah, I know, but it already won just because King Buffet is a funny title.
Endless crab legs, you always
win. I can't get enough... My stomach gets big and growls. The farts rescue me.
Okay, so that wins the haiku contest, wow. Definitely. I could have done better.
I didn't know Frank took the judge on this one all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He just makes all the rules.
I mean, I would imagine the other two would do judging. But, Larry, what do you think?
I
think it's pretty obvious.
I mean, you got plastic nuts and farts. But I do love King Buffet.
So yeah, but I hate that.
Endless crab legs. That's what I'm saying.
Nah, but the sneeze guard on them, it's gross.
Was to kind of trap the heat.
No, that's what the glass guard.
Yeah,
because people sneeze and all their.
Because
germs.
I can relate to farts rescuing me, I'm gonna have to go with Mike O'Reilly. And I love King Buffet, but
nice.
Frank's
gets,
is a
Mike gets one.
You know.
I could have done better.
I'll read my other one, too.
That was a great haiku, actually. I mean...
I'll read... both. You read your other poem, I'll read mine. I didn't even finish it. There's actually words
okay,
crossed
well,
out.
I have a just a normal poem, and then I have a
slam poetry?
Then I have some slam poetry.
Okay, yeah. I have one half-ass poem and no slam poetry.
Okay.
So...
Alright, so this kind of isn't fair, but... We'll only judge it on these two. And the slam poetry will just bring us right into our next topic, of, I guess. All right, so my poem is called The Blobfish. You're all aware of The Blobfish?
Yes.
All right. Along the coasts of Zealand, there is a fish people are repulsed by. Now that I think about it, it's more near Australia, home of the Tasmanian devil. That's Tasmania. Either way, all the countries speak in the same accent.
Did you fuck up your own poem?
And their
poetry there? Fucking start it over, you queer.
No, I didn't. And that's what I wrote down.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks for fucking ruining it.
Oh, I thought you just fucked it up. Sorry, sorry.
And it said...
Calm
okay,
down, Dubs.
So, anyway, fuck them all and their crazy bugs. Anyway, the point is about the blobfish. It is probably beautiful on the inside.
Was that any way inspired by that episode of Misfits and Monsters that we watched?
No, there was way I wrote that brother that
okay.
before.
All right, I.
Thanks for fucking ruining it, though.
I had no problem.
I can't wait to hear this.
I need a chance here.
Yeah. Oh, is that your strategy to fuck me up because yours seems somewhat better?
It's called defense, motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
All right. I once knew a man that kicked me.
Did you?
To go to a job on 33rd Street.
That happened?
I shit my pants. My dad, he laughed till he picked me up and did see.
I don't believe it.
This actually happened.
I still don't believe it.
When I shit my pants on 33rd Street?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Keep going.
All right, well, the rest is crossed out, but...
Defense, motherfucker!
My jeans were brown. My face was red.
Okay. That one line is
I swallowed all my pride. I tried to hide. Thank Christ. Dad brought some towels.
Fuck, you win again. That's a half-assed fucking poem, and you win again. But you fucked mine up.
You fucked mine up, too.
I know. Defense.
Saying that wasn't a fucking true story.
All right,
so I'm going to shit myself on 33rd and 9th.
Larry, I think you're going to judge again.
I couldn't even focus. There's so many interruptions. But Mike's line.
Yeah, the one line.
That one line.
That one line just wins it all. All right.
My jeans were brown. My face was red.
That's good.
It's like the story of his drunken
nights. I'm going up against a fucking, like, actual rapper.
I wish it was a fucking drunken night. This was 7 o'clock in the morning.
Also, was this a drunken morning?
Had you been up all night, or like had you woken up?
No, I was working for a company that I'm not going to mention because they fired me, so fuck them.
Was it McDonald's?
It was totally McDonald's. Yes, I was working at McDonald's on 33rd Street, but not in all serious. I was working in, I was doing a construction job on 34th and 10th, I think it was. It was right across the street from Hudson Yards. I shit my pants. I had to call my fucking boss and be like,
"Did you eat anything shit like bad?"
Nah, I just fucking. Do you know what it was? Carr was telling me I had IBS, so I just started taking a bunch of opiates.
What? What?
So that I wouldn't shit all the time.
Well, that's one solution.
Yeah, but I made it to work the next day. So, but whatever. Like, I shit my pants. And then, since there was so much construction going on the job, like, in that area, my dad couldn't get me from where I was sitting,
because
I had to sit in my own filth next to a homeless guy, where a homeless guy was like, "It smells like shit over here." And I was like, "Wow, a homeless dude is telling me it smells like shit over here?" So my dad calls me. It took him, like, 2 hours to get me. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm on 39th, but I had to fucking... Luckily enough, it was like October, November, so I had a hoodie on. I just wrapped the hoodie around.
What color were your pants?
They were jeans.
Okay. So, too bad they weren't brown.
Yeah, so there were. It was very clear what was going on there. But
so this was almost like you had a like how a girl.
It was an emergency.
A girl in middle school, like period. When they're wearing their white pants and they have their period. You had that little girl moment.
That's the closest I'll ever get to my future daughter.
Life. The little you had one of those.
But dude, I had to fucking run 3 blocks with a fucking hoodie.
I remember a bunch of girls like in middle school doing the same exact thing.
Oh, it sucked. But then the best part was my dad was parked here and he's like, yo, he had the towels on the fucking seat. And I was running so fast that my lighter fell out and this garbage truck driver was like, "Yo, you dropped your lighter." I was like, "Fuck it." And I hopped in the car and my parents were ruined. I took a picture of him. I sent him to Jamie and Merck. They might still have the picture. I don't know. All
right, so I have one more Def Jam poetry. You didn't do a Def Jam.
No, I didn't.
I want to do a Def Jam every week. I think they're the easiest and the most fun. I'm honestly confident in this one, Larry.
2 years.
I'm real confident.
Well, I think you're going to be the winner, Frank.
You might entice.
I might win against someone who has nothing.
What are you talking about? Well, I mean, I'm fucking 2-0 right now, so.
Yeah, I know you already won, but I think the quality of this one could tie us up.
Oh yeah,
you know, quality over quantity, right?
Yeah.
Quality over quantity, always.
It's poetry, not weed, Frank.
Unless it becomes tangerines.
I'd love a bunch of tangerines. So much. I do love tangerines.
I'd love a bunch of tangerines and fucking...
Nectarines are pretty dope as well.
Yeah.
I mean...
They don't come in that cool box, though.
I never quite got the difference.
They're the little cousin.
I mean, I think they're better than oranges.
All right, read your heart garbage you got here.
You heard it when you were drunk and you loved it.
I don't drink. I am drug and alcohol free.
No, I mean, like, a long time ago when, like...
Oh, yeah, so like 3 years ago.
All right, so... all right, so this this one is Deaf Slam Poetry. Here we go. Women do this. Men do that. Rotten tomatoes have given most men a tomato splat. But not all of this is a trap. Comedians who speak about gender differences are fucking hack. Rehire James Gunn.
Wait.
There we go.
I enjoyed that.
So, yeah, I mean, and obviously when it comes to fucking James Gunn, those jokes that he wrote, they were, dude, he's explained it a million times and everyone is so behind him on this, like, oh, you're not allowed to be the writer director of the Guardians of the Galaxy that he made. That was a,
he did the first
such,
two, right?
Yeah, that yeah. It was such a no one knew Guardians of the Galaxy unless you're like really hardcore. Like, I mean, we're hardcore comic book fans, but like that's really hardcore.
I mean, I don't masturbate to them like you do, but you know, I consider myself a pretty hardcore comic fan.
Look, I mean, all the tits are huge. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Like, I mean, it's just as good as fucking.
You're always a titty guy.
It's only like rag porn. Like,
you're always a titty guy. I don't know.
Yeah, but not like, I mean, in comics, honestly, they look like they all just got, you know, boob jobs, but, and I don't like that. I don't like the boob
the firmness.
I don't like the boob job look. I only like the natural. Yeah, but and that's really only in porn. In real life, I couldn't possibly give a shit.
But have you felt fake tits?
Oh,
no, I haven't. Probably because I've never had a hooker.
Well, you go to strip?
Yeah, neither have I. Tits. But I'm talking about strip clubs.
No, I know. But no, I've only been to two strip clubs, and they were both. Well, the one, one,
Canada,
it, yeah. One was in Canada, which was a really nice strip club. But I was
really nice in Canada.
Yeah, Montreal, yeah, it was so Montreal, nice, and I was throwing rules. Up in the women's room while I was supposed to get my lap dance.
Yeah, you were like 19.
Janice had paid for.
You were able to booze,
and Dan took my place. Dan Roden and they were both in the back room.
I'm just going to say this, and with no context whatsoever, Larry will get it. I came in the corner.
Oh, my God.
Oh. I mean, I can only imagine. But
didn't involve either of us.
Nope.
Didn't involve either of us.
I mean, we were there.
We were there, but yeah. He
good,
came in the
a
corner.
A good, dear, best friend
very
of mine.
Good friend of ours.
All right, I'll write that down.
He's like a brother
to know
to
what
me.
The hell that... you're talking about
who we can hopefully have as a guest one time, because I would love him to tell the story.
Oh, I would love to have him tell that story.
He's
too.
A great, great fucking kid.
He's a grown man now, but you know,
I mean, you haven't.
Hey, he's short as fuck.
He's short as fuck.
You haven't followed the whole James Gunn thing.
I only read stuff on like Reddit and whatever. Like,
you don't go on like Screen Rant ever.
Not so much. No.
Because they've got follow up a lot with that
but I saw, like,
specific
wasn't
topic.
Like Chris Pratt like kind of rooting for him and stuff.
Everyone,
like,
Dave Bautista. I don't know.
I can't believe fucking Dave Bautista, the wrestler, is a fucking actor now.
Dude, and he's brilliant. He's brilliant as Drax.
Brilliant, really. He's brilliant.
He dude, the shit that he improvs is comedic gold. I mean,
do you know who's good too? Is fucking John Cena.
Yeah,
John Cena is not bad.
And I'm so happy that he went the comedic route rather than like Dwayne Johnson, who went more the action route, but also kind of comedy. But like John Cena, like he was awesome in Cock Blockers. He was awesome in Trainwreck.
Dude, do you know who I loved in Cock Blockers was the other dad?
Yeah.
That shows up with the limo, the like, prom night, bitches! Yeah. He's like playing some fucking
He's the one who has the lesbian daughter.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
And he's the only one. Yeah, he's the only one who recognizes that.
Yeah. He says it in the beginning. Not in the beginning, but halfway through. He's like, I know my daughter's a lesbian. Like, yeah. I know she's gay.
Yeah.
But it was really cool how, like, when she came out to him, he like didn't acknowledge that, like, he already knew. He was like, "Hey, I love you still." Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
It'd basically be the polar opposite of if me and my dad were having a conversation. I'd tell him, hey, Dad, by the way, I'm gay. He'd be like, you're what?
You're what now?
And then he would just beat the piss out of me. And honestly,
beat the gay out of you?
Yeah, he'd probably beat me straight.
Because, you know, it's a choice.
On that note, we'll be right back with a word from our very gay-friendly sponsors.
Hey, everybody. This is Mike from Down in Upstate bringing you another sponsor. This one is called Barkin' Sauce. Is your dog waking you up too early or too late? Throw a little Barkin' Sauce on their food. They'll cry for a little, and then all of a sudden, they're silent. Shovels not included.
Well, thanks again for coming down in Upstate with us. Again, I'm Frank.
And I'm Mike.
And I'm Larry.
We'll catch you next time, piggies.
Oink, oink.